You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 29th of December, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I thought today we would have a look at a new YouGov poll that has come out, which basically shows that people with traditionalist views are now too frightened to air them in modern Britain. And this follows on the back of similar polls that have shown the same thing going on in America, where people that support Republicans are too frightened to air their views. And now we have the same thing going on in Britain. And this is good that this comes out in the same week that we have had that win by the ex-policeman with his appeal against these non-crime related hate incidents, which have also had a chilling effect on free speech. And this is the result of those sorts of things, where you say to people, if they don't like somebody else's opinion, then they're automatically a victim and a crime has taken place. And if a crime hasn't taken place, then you need to be reporting it anyway, and the police will take a record of it. And this is obviously going to prevent people from being able to air their views. And when you have a democracy, you're supposed to be able to talk about all sorts of things. That's the whole point of having a democracy, is that you can air your opinions, you can have a debate, you can have a good argument where everybody is taught to be tolerant of other people's point of view, and then you can hopefully come to an agreement on things and come to the best solution to these problems. And as soon as you say, well, you can't talk about this issue, then you're not going to get to a good solution to the problem, because you're not going to be able to identify exactly what the source of the problem is. So it really goes right to the root of democracy, being able to discuss whatever it is that you feel you need to discuss. And this goes all the way back to St. Paul, whose defense when he was up in front of the Sanhedrin was that we have to be able to speak about what we see and what we hear. It's an essential part of the human condition, being able to express yourself. And yet here we are in modern Britain, and people are too frightened to say how they feel. And this comes directly from the YouGov website. There are quite a few articles about it, and this is the original source document that they're referring to. Those with less progressive views on divisive social topics feel more reluctant to voice their opinion. And really, do we need a poll to work this one out? Well, I guess the people on the left do need these polls to tell them that this is what is going on, because they refuse to believe it. One of the new political catchphrases of recent years has been cancel culture. As with so many Westminster bubble terms, it is an import from the United States, and refers to a desire or attempt to ostracize or cancel people or organizations with certain viewpoints, generally those that are considered unprogressive. And what do they mean by ostracize or cancel people with certain viewpoints? Well, what they mean is remove them from social media, ban them from having YouTube channels, and even going so far as to prevent people from being able to use Airbnb, or being able to use airlines, being able to use Uber, and even removing people's bank accounts. That's how far this goes. And of course, they don't mention all of this here. They just talk about people being ostracized. But even the president of the United States ended up having his bank account taken away from him. it's quite a serious situation that we're in, when people can have essential parts of what they need in order to actually live taken away from them simply because somebody else doesn't actually like their viewpoint. So what they're saying here is we have this cancel culture, but a lot of people are not aware that that is actually what it is called. And they're calling it a Westminster bubble term, but it is really used all over the place to actually describe the same thing. They say, as we found with our earlier study on another American political import, being woke, Britons don't know what the political elite are on about when they bring up cancel culture. Only a third of Britons, 35%, say they think they know what cancel culture means. Almost two-thirds don't know what it means, 65%, including close to 4 in 10 who have never heard the expression in the first place. And this is, of course, is because the left try to cover this up. They don't want people to know that people are losing their bank accounts and millions of people have had their YouTube channels taken away from them. I think the biggest purge of all took place after Donald Trump won that first election in 2016 or 2017. There was a huge purge, literally millions of YouTube channels that had been up for almost up for 10 years were taken away, and there was no news reports on this. There was no Daily Mail article talking about how terrible this was, that so many people's lives had just been taken away from them. You know, people's Facebook page, it has their whole life on there, and it just got taken away from them. And of course, they're not going to publicize this because it's massive wholesale censorship of people's opinions, and they don't want them to know this. And now what we see is really the Conservative Party are sort of are hitching a ride with this and claiming that they are against cancel culture, but they're just as bad as the left. This idea that conservatives are a right wing or anti-progressive and it's only the left that are progressive is a myth. Both of them are. It's the Conservative Party that have been in power for the last 20 years, and it's under their watch that all of this has happened. So we have this going on, and I'm sure people are aware that it's going on, but they're just not aware of this catchy title that they have for it, cancel culture, and only a third of Britons actually think they know what it means. Young people are more familiar with cancel culture, with 45% of 18 to 24-year-olds saying they know what it is, compared to 40% of 25 to 49-year-olds, 31% of 50 to 64-year-olds, and 26% of those aged 65 and above. In fact, approaching half of all the people aged over 65 have never heard the term used in the first place. 45%, that is. Twice as many as 18 to 24-year-olds, which is just 23% of them don't actually know what it is. So a lot of boomers are unaware of this, and yet it is a lot of boomers themselves that are actually finding themselves being cancelled because they're not aware of these speech codes. If you speak to most people in Britain, they're completely unaware that we have such a thing as speech crime, and they think that we have free speech, and they think that we're allowed to speak our opinions so long as we're not obviously encouraging people to go out and carry out violence against anyone. They think we're able to talk about whatever subjects we want, but of course, we know here at Radio Albion that if you do talk about certain subjects, then you run the risk of being accused of inciting violence. And of course, we are completely against violence here, but we have had that accusation made against us. Most Britons say that at least sometimes they feel unable to express their political or social views for fear of judgment or negative responses. And this is rather like living in the Soviet Union, isn't it? Where you're too frightened to talk about communism in a negative way. If you did talk about it in a negative way, you're on the risk of being arrested. And if you talk in a negative way in Britain about certain government policies, or if you talk in a negative way about certain special interest groups that we have in our society, again, you run the risk of being accused of incitement to hate incitement to hate and being sent to jail, basically. So, of course, Britons are now feeling unable to express their political or social views because it gets characterised as incitement to hate rather than a political or social view. I mean, again, you can really apply this to what we do here at Radio Albion. We discuss a lot of, about political issues. We talk a lot about social problems, and we try to come up with solutions for them. And then we get accused of inciting hatred against groups with protected characteristics. And nothing could be further from the truth. What would hating a group with protected characteristics do to solve the social problems? Well, it wouldn't solve the social problems. In order to solve the social problems, you have to have political change. And I believe that this is one of these scams that's being pulled. The people that are advocating for political change, when they're getting close to the target and they're pointing out exactly what needs to be done, they get accused of inciting hate against a group with protected characteristics, and that dissuades people from looking at what these people have to say, and it censors them, and people don't get to hear of the sort of solutions that would solve the social problems. So this is why people are now too frightened to express these views. While most Britons aren't familiar with cancel culture as a phrase, that is not to say Britons don't feel cancelled from time to time. A majority of Britons, 57%, say they have at least sometimes found themselves stopping themselves from expressing their political or social views for fear of judgment or negative responses from others. So that's almost 60%. That's two-thirds of people in Britain today are too frightened to express their political or social views. And I wonder what percentage there was in the USSR that were too frightened to express their political or social views. Probably less than that, I would say, because they were probably, most of them were probably quite happy with what was actually going on. They were probably unaware of what was going on behind the communists, the people that were being taken off to the gulags. Conservative voters are more likely to say so than Labour voters, 68% versus 53%. So it's just about half of Labour voters, but it's two-thirds or three-quarters of Conservative voters that are too frightened to say how they really feel. And that's just incredible when you think that it's a Conservative Party that is in power. A Conservative Party is in power, and yet three-quarters of Conservative voters are too frightened to actually say what politics they support. So what does that tell us? Well, that really tells us that the Conservative Party does not represent what their Conservative voters want, doesn't it? If the Conservative voters are too frightened to say how they feel about politics, and it's their party in power, then it is their party that is to blame for this. And so they say, although notably most people in both groups feel this way. And yeah, they're 53%, so it's just slightly over half of Labour. And I would suggest what they're referring to there is probably people in the Labour Party that don't like what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. That is quite a hot button issue amongst the left. And of course, if they are against Israel, what Israel's doing to the Palestinians, they run the risk of being accused of anti-Semitism. And of course, nobody wants to be an anti-Semite, so they just have to keep quiet about this. Women are also more likely to have held their tongue than men, 62% versus 52%. That's interesting, because you would think with women, they're more likely to go along with whatever the prevailing view is, which is just natural for them. They have a weaker body strength, so it's just a survival instinct, which encourages women to not stand up against the tide, and you would get more men doing that. But it actually looks here that, it's bearing it out, isn't it? That women are more likely to have held their tongue than men. Only a quarter of Britons, 27%, say they always express their political or social views if they want to do so, regardless of potential judgment. So we do still have some courageous people in Britain that will actually say how they feel, but it is just 25%. We're supposed to be a free country, and yet only a quarter of the country feel that they can actually express their political or social views. And when they do so, they are running the risk of not just ostracizing and cancel culture, they're actually running the risk of getting trouble from the police for having a different view. When have people kept quiet about their views, YouGov ask. This is not to suggest that any example of someone holding back is an example of cancel culture. Asked in what circumstances people have kept their lips zipped, Britons are most likely to do so with people they have only just met. Perhaps an understandable occasion on which to avoid a potential argument. Well, that is really just common sense, isn't it? If you've only just met somebody, you don't want to say something that might upset them. And you're always going to be polite. You always want to be courteous. So why would you want to bring up something that might upset somebody? I mean, that's just being sensible. Likewise, 4 in 10 Britons have done so at work, while 1 in 3 have avoided speaking their mind on social media. 31% have done so among friends, and 21% while with their family. And the important one in that, again, it's on social media, because that's when that's the market square, that's the public square, that's when you are talking to everybody else in the country, and you have a certain amount of anonymity there. And that's where you should be able to speak truthfully, because that's where you're going to actually find the solutions to the social problems we have, is when talking in public in places like that. If you're talking to your family, obviously you want to be courteous and polite, again with friends, again at work. The important one where you should be free to speak your mind is the one where people actually get cancelled. It's the most important venue for discussing these topics is the one where people actually have that ability taken away from them. I mean, if you do maybe talk about these subjects with your family, you might have a bit of an argument, something like that. But you're still, at the end of it, end of the day, you're still going to be part of your family. The same with your friends. And at work, well, you shouldn't be saying things that are going to upset the boss when you're at work. Again, that's just common sense. But far too many people have ended up losing their job because of something they've said on social media, something which they've done in their free time. Years ago, the idea that you could lose your job for something that you did when you weren't actually at work would have just seemed impossible. Well, let's have a look at what views Britons are reluctant to express. What views do people feel like they can't express? To test this, we asked Britons a series of wedge questions on several divisive topics to see what side of an argument they came down on. Then we asked how often they find themselves hiding their views on those topics for fear of negativity. In most cases, those holding what might be considered the unprogressive view more frequently omit their opinions on that topic. And a lot of the time, the unprogressive view is the view that is actually based on facts and reality, the view that is actually based on hard evidence rather than the view that is based on idealism, the utopian view. For example, those who believe that immigration has generally been a bad thing for the UK are more likely to say that they always or mostly have to hide their views on the subject of immigration levels to the UK than those who think immigration has been a good thing for the UK. And that's 33%. 33% of the people in Britain feel that they have to hide their views on immigration, one of the most important topics to the country. If it continues at the levels that it's going at the moment, then the Indigenous Britons will be a minority by 2070, 2060, I believe, by some estimates. So this is a really important topic that people just feel that they're not able to speak about, unless they talk about it saying that it's been a good thing. If they say that it's been a good thing, then of course they're going to get a pat on the back, and then they're going to get the good job, they're going to get the promotion. They're not going to be singled out by the mainstream media as a neo-Nazi, white supremacist, racist. I dare say there are a lot of people that are actually very concerned about immigration, but they just don't say anything about it because they know that all these things that they could lose. This is the topic on which people are most likely to say that they feel they have to keep quiet. One of the most important government policies there is the immigration policy. And yet people can't talk about it. This is why I say these hate speech laws, they're being used to prevent people from criticising government policy. that's what we do here at Radio Albion. We criticise government policy. And when we do that, we get accused of inciting hate against minorities. And that's not what we're doing. And that's why 33% of the country here is feeling that they can't talk about immigration, which is a government policy. They can't talk about it because they think they're going to get cancelled. And as I say, you get far worse than just cancelling. You actually get the police arresting people for not having positive views about immigration. Other top views people are more reluctant to express are the belief that ethnic minorities in Britain have things as good as white Britons, with 31% who hold this view feeling that they cannot ever, or mostly cannot, say so. 31% of Britons who can see that in actual fact we have always been equal under the law up until now, of course, where we have diversity quotas. People who believe that we have been equal under the law and that black people don't have it any harder than white people, that they feel that they cannot say that. And in actual fact, in a lot of areas now, black people have it much more easier than white people, because there are diversity quotas that say that there should be a certain number of black people that are employed at a position. Because of diversity legislation, it's now seen as acceptable to say that you don't actually want white people to apply for a job. If you're going for university, then you can get a grant. If you're non-white, you don't even have to have such high exam results if you're non-white. In some cases, you don't even have to know how to read and write anymore, because that's considered to be racist against somebody who's just come here from another country. Why should they have to know how to read and write English if they're not actually able to do that? So that's discriminatory. So in actual fact, the fact of the matter is that it's the other way around. It's now white Britons that are discriminated against. And you certainly couldn't say that anywhere else, but alternative media like here. But just to actually say that you think white people have it the same as black, then a third of the country are too frightened to say so. The other big issue, of course, is transgender issues. With 29% of those who disagree with the statement, a transgender woman is a woman, feel they have to frequently keep it bottled up. Now, why might that be? Well, what about this Harry Miller, I think his name was, the ex-police officer, who said that trans women are not women. He had the police turn up at his door telling him that they needed to check his thinking. And of course, he had this big court case against them, this appeal against them, because they put him down as on their records as having carried out a non-crime related hate incident. So this is why people are too frightened to state basic obvious truths, that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. So there's a third of the country that are too frightened to even point that out now. The exceptions to this trend are views on the British Empire. 15% of those who think positively about the British Empire always stop themselves for fear of judgment, whereas 11% are too frightened to say that we should be more ashamed of the British Empire. So it's still more the people that are traditionalist minded that are too frightened to say that. Imagine that, 15% of people in the country are too frightened to talk positively about the British Empire, too frightened to talk positively about a great achievement of this country. Yes, there were negatives associated with it, but we should still be proud of our history. We cannot change it. And if it wasn't for the British Empire, a lot of these people that are complaining now would not have even learned how to read and write, let alone actually be in our country and complaining about the great things that we actually did for them. You just look at Africa with all the transport and the cities that we built and the universities and the hospitals and the medicine. I mean, it is because the inventions of Europeans are so ubiquitous that these people don't actually notice it. They don't actually notice that when they're complaining about appropriating their culture, that in actual fact, what they see as being everything involved in culture is actually, it actually came from white people. You know, we've been incredibly generous with our inventions and with our civilization. And yet we've come to the point today where we cannot be proud of that, and we have to look down on it, and we have to say that it's a bad thing. And more people are too frightened to say that it was a good thing than are too frightened to say that it was a bad thing. Obesity is another exception to the trend, where they're both fairly even. 13% of the country feel that they cannot say obesity is unhealthy and it should be discouraged, whereas 11% feel that they can't say being fat is great and that people should be made to feel good about it, no matter what size they are. And of course, this is the new one, fat shaming, preventing people from pointing out the health problems that there are with being obese. So both of those, British Empire and obesity, that's where both sides of the argument reported similar levels of reluctance to express themselves. When it came to views on the Conservative Party, although there is not much difference at the always or mostly level, those with pro-Tory views are more likely to say they sometimes or rarely have to hide that fact than those with a negative opinion of the party. So people who are pro-Tory are more likely to say they sometimes or rarely have to hide that fact. They shouldn't have to hide it at all. You should not have to hide your politics. We should be promoting an atmosphere of tolerance in our country where you tolerate people with a different opinion to your own. You don't seek to have them silenced. And we should be teaching people that from a very young age, that diversity of opinion is a good thing. And the more people that have different opinions to you that you are exposed to, the better life is, and the better you will be at forming your own opinion and coming to the right opinion. If you don't actually hear both sides of the argument, then how are you ever going to know that you've actually come to a truthful conclusion from that argument? Across all nine scenarios, only about 10 to 14% of those who sit on the more progressive side of the argument say they feel they always or sometimes have to keep their opinion to themselves, while it is 15 to 35% for those who are not progressive. And I do think that is probably down to an anti-Israel sentiment, because left-wing sentiment, progressive sentiment, that is the one that you always see being promoted on the television. That is the one that is cheered on by the politicians, cheered on by the journalists in the mainstream media. And it's the people with the traditionalist views that are always made out to be the bad guys. And it's not just us nationalists here that are feeling this. It's a third of the country that feel they cannot actually speak about the views that they hold. Comedian Ricky Gervais, who has been an outspoken critic of cancel culture, predicted recently that the views that young people hold today will in turn come to be seen as backwards by future generations. And he said, "I want to live long enough to see the younger generation not be woke enough for the next generation. It's going to happen. Don't they realise that? It's like they're next. That's what's funny." And of course, that's because these younger generations have been through the schooling system and they've been through university and they haven't actually had any experience of life. So they just repeat what they've been told at school and at university, and what they're being taught there is all left-wing and progressive. I mean, we've had these polls done at universities, and it's even harder for a conservative-minded traditionalist person to actually speak up in university than it is outside in public. And universities are supposed to be where you have your views challenged and have a genuine diversity of opinion. It seems indeed that young people do not expect to become the next bad guys. Only one in three 18 to 24-year-olds think that some of their current views will come to be seen as unacceptable by future generations of young people during their own lifetime. I mean, that's an incredible lack of self-awareness there. I mean, all these young people are is the sum of their ancestors. They can't actually be anything better than them. And in most cases, they're actually slightly less. I mean, you actually lose the quality of the photocopy each time you make the photocopy. So I believe each generation is slightly less than the one before. And yet today we think that the next generation are above the one before. An equal number, 35%, anticipate their own future cancellation, however, whilst 29% are unsure. By contrast, almost half of the oldest Britons, that's 47% of those aged 65 and above, expect that some of their views will be seen as bad by future youngsters. And that's not really surprising, is it? I think a lot of views of people over 65 are already being seen as bad by youngsters around today. I mean, if you don't use the latest fashionable, trendy language, then you're going to get accused of all these nasty names. And it is people that are over the age of 65 that don't keep up to date with the terminology that people use. And they're the ones that fall foul of it. We've seen this happen in Sweden, particularly a lot of elderly people that have been prosecuted for things that they've said on Facebook. One in three, nevertheless, are sure that they will hold acceptable views until they die. 35%. And finally, what should we be prioritising more? Protecting free speech or stopping offensive and hateful speech? And of course, this is the first time they've actually brought this up, this word hateful. Up until now, they've been talking about social issues and political policies. And I've pointed out that this is being censored and people are too frightened to talk about this because they're accused of inciting hate when they do. So now they're asking this question, what's more important, to protect free speech or to stop so-called hate? Well, underpinning the whole cancel culture argument is the dilemma of how far societies should go to preserve free speech when that right is often exercised in ways ranging from the hurtful to the malicious. And again, that's not the way that it's being interpreted, is it? If somebody is criticising a government policy such as immigration, that is not people trying to be hurtful or malicious. That's people that are concerned about their country. And yet a third of the country is too frightened to speak about it. A third of the population is too frightened to speak about it. Asked which should be the priority, 38% of Britons say the focus should be on protecting free speech, while 43% say protecting people from offensive or hateful speech should be the priority. And they don't actually tell us the age ranges here. I suspect it will be the elders of our country, the people with more experience, more knowledge and more wisdom that are saying that we should be protecting free speech, while the 43% that say that we should be censoring our speech will be the younger generations. I think I do actually have an infographic here where we can see this. Conservative voters, 50% of them think it's more important to protect free speech. That's to 35% that don't. 47% of men think that free speech should be protected. Only 36% think that it's more important to censor speech. 44% of 65 plus year olds think that it's more important to have free speech than to censor it. So yeah, I was correct there. And also 50 to 64 year olds, it's a higher percentage that think we should be protecting free speech. The people that think that it is more important to censor speech to protect people's feelings is 25 to 49 year olds, 18 to 24 year olds, women and Labour voters. Men are much more concerned about protecting free speech, and women are more concerned about blocking offensive or hateful speech, which basically translates into censoring opinions that don't agree with their own. Likewise, Tories and Labour voters come down on opposite sides. Younger people are also much more concerned about protecting against offensive, hateful speech than protecting free speech, while older Britons are split between the two. So it's the younger people that really think that we should just be silencing people with these different opinions. And the way that that's done is to claim that it's these different opinions are somehow offensive or hateful or are inciting violence. And when you actually look into it, that is just not true. It is being used as a way to censor people's opinions about government policies that are the most important policies of all. Policies on immigration, policies on education, policies on crime, And yet when you actually talk about the real issues that are associated with that, you get accused of being a hater. And then you run the risk of being cancelled or arrested. And in the worst instances of this, you end up being sent to prison simply for something that you said, simply for having a different opinion. So it's great to see that this poll is showing exactly what we talk about here at Radio Albion. It's a shame that the country has degenerated so far into this totalitarian state that we have now, where you are too frightened to speak. But at the same time, it's good that there is more and more people speaking about this in the alternative media, like ourselves here at Radio Albion, where we champion free speech and we champion those who stand up for it as well. So thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.